Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
You are absolutely right. It's a good morning.
Yeah, they left food for us.
Oh my God. We'll talk about this in a sec, but let's intro in the show here. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're here with you on a Wednesday. Far less rainy than yesterday, but a lot chillier. That fall weather is definitely hit now. But ready? I love that the temperature went down like this. Because this sandwich that is sitting to my left, brother.
Yeah, you put a picture of it on Twitter. This is so the Sabres, you know, I think the Sabres and Bills both come in and they'll go to different, you know, the shows and bring in their food and kind of what they've got for concessions. And the Sabres have done a really good job at some of the creative stuff they've done. The food looks really good.
Oh, my God.
Like I didn't bring lunch specifically because I knew there'd be leftovers. I'm fairly excited for
The Tage-themed chicken parm looks delicious. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to eat it yet because we only have 5 minutes to sit in these seats between show. But, oh, my God. Like, I'm looking at this thing. I'm going to get distracted, okay? My train of thought is not going to be here today. Mm-hmm. The chicken parm thing, they were walking in when we walked in, by the way.
Yeah, we let them in the door.
We let them in the door, and they say this sandwich can feed a family of four. I am happy to report right now that I am a family of four.
And they weren't lying either. Like it's
the thing is in the boat.
Yeah.
Like it's in that long boat like the Skinner chicken dinner was in. So you know it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
This 25-year-old me would crush this solo.
It's a hell of an effort.
College Derek would have destroyed this thing.
It's a heck of an effort, man. If you could have done that in your prime, it's a heck of an effort.
I know I could have done that in my prime. I am not in my prime.
Yeah, so we've got food here. Sabre season gets underway tomorrow, but if you're going to the game, you'll have a chance to get these things at their home against the Rangers. Rangers played last night. They lost 3-0 to Pittsburgh. Although it seemed like most of those goals came later in the game. It was 1-0 Pittsburgh for most of the contest. We'll get that going. We'll hopefully talk to Paul Hamilton tomorrow to kind of help preview the season. Today, though, the Bills are actually off. It is, you know, Monday night kind of throw the schedule up in the air. We're going to figure everything else out. Bills get back in the practice field tomorrow. We're still going to talk to Sal Capaccio later on in the show. We did get some news from earlier this week. The Bills did add somebody to the practice squad as well, so there's a little bit going on there. We'll also talk to Mike Rose, Batavia Daily. That's coming up in about a half hour. Not only talk to Bills, but also me and Mike met at Bills training camp. He's an Oklahoma fan. I'm a Texas fan. Red River's this weekend, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Where I did want to start today, though, is with the sports that are going on, not named football. Of course, we have hockey starting last night, 3 games. The first one got going at 5, but they relatively good games. I didn't watch any of the Kings, but we'll get to them in a little bit because I did like something I saw from them. But I do want to start with the baseball, and specifically Yankees-Jays, because as somebody that doesn't really have a rooting interest outside of, oh, it'd be really cool if the Jays kept going, or, all right, if the Yankees kept going, that'd be a cool story. Can they get back to a World Series? Can they win one for the first time since 09? The baseball's been very good, and there have been moments for multiple players on each team. And while the Jays were looking for a sweep last night in the Bronx, and it felt like it was going that way for much of the early part of that game.
Through 4 innings.
Aaron Judge had his moment. That's the call said, if it stays fair, that's his moment. He did. It's a 3-run shot. And then the Yankees get going. Chisholm has a great home run as well.
Can I take a bite of the sandwich if you're going to get me sad?
That's fine.
I need comfort food, okay?
I've enjoyed the baseball a lot. I found it hysterical that the game starts at, what, 8:08? It takes me 5-10 minutes to get home. By the time I'm walking in the door, Vlad Guerrero's already hit another home run to go up 2-0 early in the contest. It's just, it's been very good. There's been record-setting performances by Jays players, whether it's Trey Yesavage or even now after last night, that home run. What is Guerrero, the first ever Toronto Blue Jays player to have 3 straight home runs in the postseason? Just incredible performances. Didn't get to see much of Mariners-Tigers. I wanted to watch that game, but it ultimately was in a rain delay for much of the afternoon. But the baseball's been great. They're at it again tonight. I think it's back in the Bronx. I don't think they've left. And it's Varland versus Cam Schlittler, who he's had his moment in elimination game right. Against Boston. 12 strikeouts. He's a stud. And it looks like one of those, it's going to be a homegrown Yankees player, but he's from Boston or around the area. You know, eliminates his boyhood team. Just there's a lot going on there. We've got 4 games today. The earliest is Mariners-Tigers starting at 3, then at 5, Brewers-Cubs. 7 is Jays-Yankees, then at 9, it's Phillies-Dodgers. But the postseason baseball has been great, at least from the games that I've been able to watch. I won't say I've been able to watch a ton of the Dodgers. They usually start a little bit later, and I'm like, all right, I got to get up at 7. I'm done. But Yankees-Jays was great last night. It had moments where it felt like it was going to be honestly, it was a lot like Monday Night Football, Derek, where it felt like at times Kansas City was just going to start running away from the Jags, and they kind of never were, and there's a few mistakes, what have you, that got the Jaguars back in the game. They ultimately win it. For the Yankees, they're down early in a bad way, 6-1, and it just is like
– the Jays' bats are still here. They're still a problem. You got to deal with it. And then a couple of fielding errors – and, of course, the bullpen kind of shrinks in the face of duty. They almost screwed up an 11-0 lead, by the way.
Yeah,
game 2 ends 13-7.
Yeah, the game was 13-2 at one point.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where it goes here. I mean, ready? Varland's getting the start for game 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Varland gives up 2 hits. In an inning, or 2 runs in an inning. Last night. So we're going to do a bullpen game today, huh?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here? But, ready? They were forced into a bullpen game, too. Bieber was hit up and down right away. Not up and down, but, like, it wasn't great. He wasn't really forcing their hand. he only puts up two strikeouts in less than three innings. So, yeah, Shane Bieber did not have himself what I would call a strong day. And now they're going for the second straight, effectively, bullpen game for this one here. And then now you've got Schlittler, right?
Mm-hmm. Schlittler, Cam Schlittler.
Schlittler on the other side. And it's like you're dealing with an ace.
I'm really excited to watch him pitch again. He was so good in that elimination game.
The Jays,
so good.
The Jays' bats have not cared who's been on the mound,
mm-hmm.
typically. I mean, even in a loss, they scored six early. Now you need to get to whole game bats, whole game. Because they get 11 through five innings in game two. They get six by three innings, and then nothing. So they just need to be able to keep it going through the entire game, really, is what this is. Because if they can, then it might end up like game one, where they win 10-1.
And that's the thing. I mean, you lost last night. You would have loved a sweep. Doesn't happen often. I think the Jays are still in a great position. The Yankees, they have to do a reverse sweep. Like, that's what they were set up with. I just like the idea of the Yankees' backs against the wall. The environment last night was incredible, especially once they got going, that it was like, okay, like maybe there was a feeling here. And the Judge moment is electric. It is incredible.
It is a great moment for him, though.
And why I liked it so much, I'm not necessarily a Judge fan. I'm obviously not a Yankees fan. But I am somebody, and I've talked a lot about this with hockey, actually. Those big moments and the stars having their moments. We talk a lot about that with football and especially quarterbacks. But I always love when a star player who maybe hasn't done it yet or hasn't done it in a while gets that chance and they rise to the occasion. And while it is only the ALDS and there's a really good chance the Yankees are out tonight because they put themselves in that position, dropping the first two. But it was... I'd be lying if I said I didn't get goosebumps when he hit that home run. I'd be lying to you as someone that is partially rooting for the Jays.
I felt existential
that
dread.
I didn't kind of want it to stay fair. As it was drifting, I'm like, please, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Because I knew the pop was going to be incredible. And I knew just the storyline in general would be amazing. That's no disrespect to the Jays. Mm-hmm. But if they sweep the Yankees, the story is less about the Jays making the ALCS in a sweep and more what's wrong with the Yankees. What's wrong with their stars, Stanton, Judge, you know, Chisholm, and then even the pitching and how bad it's been literally outside of Schlittler. I like that we got some positive now for Yankees fans of like, no, Judge had his moment, and he's been relatively good in these playoffs. He just hasn't had that moment.
Yeah, because the Jays even rung up Fried,
mm-hmm.
who was a large portion of their success this year on the mound. And that's the one thing that I have hope for with Game 4 is the Jays' bats have been really indiscriminate against any starting pitcher that the Yankees have trotted out.
Mm-hmm.
You got one more of those in you?
And it's been a little surprising these first two games, too, because their bats had gone really cold to end the regular season. Mm-hmm. They've been missing Bo Bichette. The hope is they can get him back later on in the postseason. They're not going to get him back for
this round and get him back.
But then it was just, nope, they lit him up in Toronto. The bats got so hot, namely, and I'm talking a lot about Judge, but Guerrero as well has a home run last night to go up 2-0. He's got three straight games with a home run. The one in game two is a grand slam to basically put the game to bed.
They finally have walked him.
Yeah, they finally decided to do that.
They should be doing that now every pitch.
That was incredible. He should not have another actual at-bat the rest of the series. He really should.
Really should like make the Jays beat you with other players there because clearly Vlad's doing it.
It's been so good. Mariners, Tigers, I'm kind of hoping that goes a little bit longer as well. Brewers, I've been rooting for them against the Cubs. That's fine. Dodgers, I don't really care for Dodgers or Phillies. I've already mentioned that. I'm kind of barely watching that. Yamamoto, though, is on the bump tonight for L.A. Just it's been so good, and I'm happy that a player like Judge can get that moment. Again, I know some Yankees fans can be obnoxious, and for many of you, I'm with you on that. But I will never not love when a star player who hasn't had that moment yet gets a chance and meets the occasion. I absolutely love that stuff.
It's great for story. Like, you love a good story.
Yeah.
I love a good story. I just hate that it happened against, you know, the team that I
want
to succeed.
Yeah, you just hope that guy's moment doesn't come against you.
Yes. And then, really, it's all a matter of this. For the Jays, can I just get Springer and Kirk to do just a little bit better tonight? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were over. 0 for 5, 0 for 4.
Yeah.
Get me some hits from a couple of these guys, and then there we go. Especially Kirk, because if they're going to start walking Guerrero, you need Alejandro Kirk to have a better game than he did yesterday.
I love him. I've gone to two Jays games in different years. He's been on the team the whole time. I love him. He does not look like a ball player by any stretch of the imagination. He rakes at times. He's so much fun. Baseball was great last night. For the hockey, I was able to watch a lot of Florida and Chicago.
Yeah.
I say this a lot with the Sabres, with Florida, and real quick on this. And I saw ESPN doing their piece kind of like, has it been good for the NHL that they've won two in a row? Like, has it been good for the sport? And I don't know. I don't know if I do. I don't know if yesterday when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, like, it's not been an aggressive dynasty. It's not like it's the Bruins going back to winning two straight, and everyone's like, oh, great. You know, the mean bully from my childhood is back, or you know, anything like that. It's been a new team. But I don't know if it's actually been good for the sport. It's Florida hockey. Like, that's always going to be a weird thing, but now that's sort of become a bit of the norm, hasn't it?
It has. And, I mean, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought on this one.
The food, I get it.
Yeah, the food's sitting right here. It is. But, yeah, I really, with the hockey, it just, the 5 o'clock start still really bothered me. Because, like, there were still not fans packed in their seats yet in Florida for a cup banner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting to a point of, like, I'm a little irritated about the misinformation because of the fact that, like,
oh, it was actually 5:20?
No, I'm talking about, like, oh, here's pictures. They can't even fill the lower bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It was still mostly full. It's just, it's a 5 o'clock start. Not everyone can get off of work. That's all that is.
Right.
Like, even in Buffalo, it'd be tough to get people into all their seats by 5 o'clock. For, say the Sabres had something awesome like this going on, it'd be hard to get everyone in their seats for 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
There's not enough PTO in the world for that, is what I would say to that. There's not enough PTO in the world. Because typically the lower bowl, you're looking at your seasons, your higher price tickets. You also have to be able to get out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all worked this kind of job. Hey, could I leave 15 minutes early? No.
Or you don't even ask. He's like, it's going to be
I already
no.
know.
Yeah.
It's probably too young for you guys, but like Office Space, the movie Office Space. Yeah, I'm going to need you to stay late and, yeah.
And that's it.
did you get the memo about the TPS reports? Yeah. We've all worked that job. Every one of us has worked that job in our lives where we know not to bother asking, or we are straight up told, no, you can't leave early. We've all done it. So, as much as I love trying to dunk on Florida Panther fans, because there used to be 17 of them,
mm-hmm.
winning puts people in seats.
Oh, yeah.
5 o'clock start time was weird.
5 o'clock, yeah. We were talking about that, maybe not on air, but definitely off, where we're just like, yeah, why? Just move it back an hour.
Yeah,
and you're probably in a better spot. For me, it's just more, have the Florida Panthers become enough of a brand where we all do want to tune in and watch them?
And that's the thing, is that they have become that, and I hate it, because they do it annoyingly so, I guess is the way I would say it. What I mean that by that is, Kevin Adams was spitting facts about the palm trees taxes thing. He just said it at a terrible time when they were in the eighth game of a 14-game losing streak. That's it. Kevin Adams was ultimately trying to put a point out there.
Mm.
He just picked a bad time to say it, is really what I would say.
I still wonder about that, where it's like, I think you can you can fully believe that. And it, look, it is true. Just never say it out loud.
No. Say it out loud. Call him out for it. That's my thing.
Yeah, you're saying like, no, things need to change kind of deal.
Not even things need to change. Call the players out even for it. Because that's where they're going. Because it's not just Florida, it's Tampa who's won the cup right before that. So, yeah, something weird's going on. Not being accusatory of like any sort of shadiness or mismanagement or something like that, but something weird's happening. Well, absolutely say that. Yeah,
It's the same with Vegas, right? Like they also have the taxes is not much of an issue over in Nevada. The same with Florida. It's different for like New York or even the Canadian teams. Of course, they're dealing with their own issues money wise in terms of getting players in.
And you know what it is? It's Fred with the mystery machine saying, "Hey guys, this thing looks weird over here." Thanks, Fred.
Thanks.
I appreciate that someone finally pointed it out. However, Kevin Adams did the Fred moment when he shouldn't have.
Yeah, pick your moments. Pick your moments a little bit better.
You're in the midst of a losing streak that kills the season.
Yeah. Not
so
great.
So unfortunately, it sounds like an excuse.
Rather than,
hey, this is weird.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. I've been thinking a little bit about the Florida Panthers. Bringing up the Lightning is correct. And 803-0550, number to call. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. I do wonder, though, is it good for hockey? And it might be.
It is good for the growth of the game because the southern states do get to thrive a little
bit. Right, you're getting states like Florida winning multiple cups here with different teams doing it. That probably is a good thing, and especially when you've had the failed ventures of Atlanta, when you did try to go into the southern hemisphere of the United States and try to like not just have it be northern or Canadian dominated. That failed where the Florida teams have succeeded, the Vegas team has succeeded. I do wonder now, where are we getting to a point where in almost a way to, baseball. Baseball last year, the World Series, it's Dodgers-Yankees. It's two of your biggest
items.
Yeah, it's your two biggest brands. And it wasn't a particularly great series. I mean, it had great moments for the Dodgers, but it wasn't a particularly competitive series. But the numbers were incredible. It was clearly great for the sport of baseball. And I wonder if we've got to get back to that with
it's something you talk with about the NHL, too. You talk about this a lot, though, with not just the NHL, but with all sports. Where, yes, we do love our upsets in the beginning rounds, but at the end of the day, the casual fan wants to see the recognizable franchises in the finals.
Just look at the numbers for the NCAA tournament in college basketball. Like everyone loves Florida Gulf Coast for their 15 minutes of fame, but those boys make it to the Elite Eight, and Duke's out, North Carolina's out, Kentucky's out.
The numbers go down. Watching.
Yeah, the ratings go down. They stop caring.
And for baseball right now, there is a team where you're sweating it out with, and that's the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They have to claw their way back from a 2-0 series hole. They started step one of it last night. But the Cubs are in threat of getting swept. Dodgers-Phillies, you're getting one of those name brands in there.
Right.
But then the other teams out in the AL are the Tigers, the Mariners, and the Jays.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's
Red Sox,
one of the
Yankees,
least sexy lineups you could imagine baseball is thinking of.
Red Sox, Yankees to open is great for getting people to the postseason or getting more people to the baseball postseason. But one of them was guaranteed out.
Yep. And those are your two of your bigger brands in the AL.
But how it started, that ninth inning in game one of that wild card series, it's the perfect way to get things going. So, yeah, there was a necessary sacrifice, I'd like to say, throw one of these teams into the pit, and it turns out it was Boston. But in the long run here, will it impact viewership? And the answer is probably not, ultimately.
I wonder if it will. I mean, that's the thing. If we're just comparing it to last year, probably. If we're comparing it to the other years where we've had like the Rangers win a World Series, the Nationals win a World Series, I'll be curious about those numbers.
Yes. If the Yankees can get past the Blue Jays, which I hope not, selfishly, then you have something in legitimate play here. Oh, the Yankees are going on a run all of a sudden. They end the season hot, and they're going on a run. They put themselves in such a hole through game one in a three-game series against Boston, and then they put the other two away. They go down 2-0 against the Jays, and then they storm back and win that. At that point, are you doubting them against either Seattle or Detroit? Probably not.
No, because in many, they got through the test. Many thought they wouldn't anyway. So now, what's stopping them?
The Phillies and Dodgers might be two of the best teams in baseball in terms of complete rosters. One of them's going down. It's a guarantee. And it's looking like the Phillies. But the Dodgers look like a team that they're back. Everything's fine. They haven't lost a game in the postseason yet.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Quickly, let's get to your calls here before our first time out. Billy is up first. Billy, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, listen. Just watching this this series go on, and I know we're all rooting for Toronto, well, especially me because I'm from Toronto, but I don't understand what the hell we're doing. I mean, I understand, you know, we're up two games to nothing, and, I mean, we've absolutely blown them out of the park, and it looks like game three, this series should have been over. We're up 6-1. But I don't know what we are doing with our starting pitching. I really don't. Why are we going with a bullpen game today? Has anybody not heard of Jose Berríos? I mean, this was a regular fixture on our team. What are we giving this game away because we think that Gausman's going to close it out? And if Gausman gets hit, then in comes Yuskevich? I mean, this game, we cannot go with a bullpen. Our bullpen got hammered last night.
Right.
We're going to go with a bullpen game today? I mean, to me, guys, honestly, the New York Yankees are the most overrated team in this year in baseball. They've got one guy. We pray when Stanton comes up the bat. Is there a worse player in baseball the last 10, 15 years? Yes, he puts up some numbers against bad teams. I love when Stanton comes up because I know that's a strikeout. Look, we cannot let the Yankees back into this. We can't. We got to end it tonight, and we're wind up going with a bullpen. I just don't get it. I don't get why we're doing this. And we could win this game, but if the New York Yankees are going to rely on left-handed pitching, we have killed Max Fried. Not just this series, the two games we've hammered Max Fried. We've hammered Rondon, and even Schlitter, who threw the great game against Boston. We hit him hard. The Yankees are going to have to outscore.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Us. They're not going to outpitch us, but by us throwing the damn bullpen at them, maybe we get it done, but I think we're relying on game five back home, and I think that's dangerous, guys.
Billy, that is indeed dangerous, and thanks for the call, but I will say, luckily, the Yankees bats have been indiscriminate this series against the starting pitchers. Whoever New York is trotting out first on the mound, they don't care. There's your good news. I do think it's dangerous if they're relying on a game five where they can use their starting pitching to try to like power them through the game. And that's for most teams. Like, your bullpen is not oftentimes going to be the strength of your team. That's why they're relief pitchers. They're, you know, like, they're only meant to go short distances. And even if then, sometimes you have to do it in mass. Toronto's bullpen, not just last night, it's over the last two games.
Yeah, it's where I don't think I've said it yet, but I think it is a very rough decision to go to a bullpen game in only a five-game series. You got to end it when you can end it. You throw your starters out there, and you just let's get out of this early.
And the good news is, though, is that Yusevich pitched so
– Right.
So intensely.
78 pitches.
And he did so much work in so little time, and the bats were so effective. Yeah, you could pull him after five. Into the sixth. You could pull them early because they can get away with it based on the score and what had happened. So while I don't feel terrible about the prospect of a game five, yeah, momentum is also still a real thing.
And you've got the guy that the last time he was out on the mound had an all-time performance in Cam Schlittler going up against you. 803-0550, the number to call. Would love to keep talking baseball today. But when we come back, we'll talk a little Bills and get some college football in, as well as Mike Rose of Batavia Daily joins the show. A little Oklahoma, Texas this weekend. It should be, I'm not going to say it should be a good time. We'll see. Texas might be 3-3 by 7 o'clock on Saturday. But we'll see. We'll talk to Mike. It'll be a good time. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to the Western Hotline here in just a moment. Real quick.
We have a little correction here.
We took a caller, Billy, in the last segment talking about the pitching. No one really loves a bullpen game. It should be noted, though, I thought this was right. I wanted to look it up in the break, though, because I wasn't for sure on it. Not only was Berrios not on the ALDS roster for the Jays.
Correct.
They actually only have three starters on the roster.
A bullpen game was going to happen anyway. It's just the fact that the performance over the last two games has not been good. Hey, does this sound familiar?
Yeah. Yeah. Not ideal.
So, yeah, it's something where they need to survive this series.
Mm-hmm.
Get through it, and then they can get some of their starters back for the ALCS if they make it. The thing is that they got off to such a hot start, they can still do it. Can you survive game four in a bullpen game? Maybe. But now you have your aces ready for you, and you have probably both of them available to you in game five.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts on last night's games. It's been great for playoff baseball.
Great outside football day.
Yeah. But take a little pause from that for just a few moments as we go to the Western Hotline. Mike Rose of Batavia Daily joins the show. Mike, it's been a little while. We met at training camp. The season's fully underway. And sadly, it's Red River Week. How you doing?
I'm probably doing better than you are.
Yeah.
Into Red River Week right now, but I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Me and Mike met at Bill's training camp, and you know, Sal Capaccio put us in contact. You know, he's Oklahoma fan, I'm Texas fan. I will not lie to you, Mike. At the time, I was sitting there, you know, we're talking, and in my head, I'm going, man, Oklahoma's going to suck. Like, I'm going to bring him on, and I'm just going to, you know, dance on the grave, the whole thing. Turns out, I was wrong. Oklahoma's been fantastic this year. Mike, I don't know if you saw the reports. John Mateer, their Heisman hopeful quarterback, might be playing this week. And Texas is 3-2 and unranked after being preseason top five.
Yeah, and Mateer, I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous if he doesn't play because he is so much of their offense this season. But I had a good feeling coming into the year just because Brent Venables done a great job with that defense. Even going back to last year, they just were playing with eighth-string wide receivers for most of the year, which made it a little difficult for them to move the ball with any kind of consistency. But the offense has found their stride a little bit with Mateer, and the defense has picked up right where they left off. So,
well, how do you feel about Oklahoma's hopes in the SEC? I mean, this is not the Nick Saban era Alabama where you just feel like we don't have even the depth of talent, let alone the starting talent. You know, now it is teams like Missouri, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss who are at the top of the table. Alabama's coming back, but they have that bad loss to Florida State. Georgia doesn't look as dominant. I mean, Oklahoma's coming into this game ranked number six in the country.
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel pretty good if you're an Oklahoma fan right now about where they're at. Obviously, the schedule makers in the SEC, not real generous. They
no.
didn't give Oklahoma much in the way of any easy SEC games this year. There's no, you know, Kentucky's hiding anywhere on the schedule. But if they can get through Texas this week, I like where they're at, you know, heading down the stretch. I think they can probably handle taking a loss somewhere down the road. And if they win the rest of these games, there's no reason they shouldn't be in the SEC championship and in the playoffs when the season ends.
And you mentioned that Venables defense too. Overall in the FBS, their overall defense first, passing second, rushing fifth, and scoring second. It's been an incredible year for them. And they're going up against a Texas offense that, I mean, just to be frank, Mike, they've looked out of sorts since game one. Arch Manning has not even gotten close to reaching the height. I mean, there was feelings after the first two or three games that he was hurt because it looked like he was shot putting every pass. The receiver room doesn't look good. I don't know how much of the Florida and Texas game you watched, but Texas offensive line also, which has been a strength the last few years, looks horrendous. It's a whole thing. It just looks bad. I got to tell you right now, I don't know the line of this game. I've been afraid to look at it, but I'd be hammering Oklahoma right now.
Yeah, I didn't catch much of that Florida-Texas game, but I was scoreboard watching, of course, as I always do.
Of course.
And, you know, I all of a sudden I look, I go, oh, wow, it really is getting bad for Texas right now. Ironically, I did just look at what the spread is for this week, though, and Texas is actually favored in this game, if you can believe that.
Even more, hammer the Sooners. I hate that I'm saying that. Texas looks so out of sorts. I think even if Mateer is a little hampered, I don't know how Texas scores. Like, it really, like, that's the feeling. It is. I just do not see how they put up enough points to really threaten Oklahoma. But it is Red River. There's been very weird games in this rivalry for years. Charlie Strong got the golden hat at one point, and that feels insane to say.
Yeah, you never know what can happen in a rivalry game like this when you kind of throw the records out when games like this come on the schedule. I think the biggest thing from an Oklahoma perspective, you mentioned how is Texas going to score, but if Mateer's not out there, that's going to be a similar question for Oklahoma. How are they going to score? The running game has been atrocious this year for Oklahoma. I think they're like 98th in the country in rushing yards per game, and a lot of that is Mateer himself running the football. So if he's not out there, they're going to have some trouble moving the ball against a Texas defense that, you know, maybe hasn't been as great as they would have liked it to be, but a lot of talent still on that Texas defense. A lot of guys are going to be playing on Sundays that are on that unit. So, you know, if Mateer's not out there, I think it opens the door. If Mateer's playing in this game, I agree with you. You hammer Oklahoma. I don't see how Texas can keep pace.
3:30 Saturday, ABC in Dallas, should be a blast. Mike Rose here on the Western Hotline of Batavia Daily. Mike, we'd be remiss, though, if we did not talk about the Bills. The sky is falling. They're 4-1. They've lost to the Patriots. I say that facetiously also because I am somebody that on game day I'm losing my mind, you know, on Twitter. I'm maybe not as bad as Nate Geary, or, you know, fellow
no,
host
Nate,
here.
Nate's a one of one.
Nate's a one of one. But to be fair, like, you know, on games, like, I tweet exactly how I'm feeling. What have your thoughts, though, been through these first five games? They are 4-1, but I think to many they haven't totally looked right.
Yeah, I mean, 4-1 is the good news. The bad news is it just hasn't been a terribly impressive 4-1. And I think even now when you look kind of in retrospective back at the four games they did win, those teams are a combined like 3-17 at this point in the season. So it's tough to feel great about where they're at. But I think the good news is if you look around the AFC right now, there doesn't seem to be a ton of teams that are playing great football at this point in the season. So there's plenty of time for the Bills to, you know, work out some of these kinks and get things straightened out. But I definitely do think there's some concerns that are valid if you're a Bills fan right now.
And it's so curious too about the AFC. That's been a thing I've been wondering for the last few weeks. So, like, how many good teams are there actually? Like, I know Chiefs fans, I think, feel, funny enough, actually pretty good following Monday night's loss because it looked like the offense was back. But they're playing Detroit now. That's their next game. They could be facing 2-4. Baltimore with all their injuries. Like, the cream of the crop of the AFC right now, the team that's playing the best, is a Daniel Jones-led Colts team. Like, it feels very weird to start this year when usually the AFC, Mike, has been Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, and everyone else.
Yeah, it seems like we're like in some alternate dimension here in terms of where the standings look like. Like, mm-hmm. We've rewound several years. Like, oh, Peyton Manning's back on the Colts. Look at them.
Ben Roethlisberger on the Steelers.
So far. I got to agree with you. And, you know, you mentioned Kansas City and Baltimore, and Baltimore probably going to be without Lamar Jackson again this week. I mean, they're digging themselves into a hole that is looking awfully tough to get out of. I think almost I was kind of having this thought earlier this week that the Bengals, after trading for Joe Flacco, if they can tread water, they might be the team that sneaks in there and maybe make some noise in the playoffs if Joe Burrow is able to come back. It's so wide open at this point. And like you said, if the Daniel Jones-led Colts is the cream of the crop, then it's there for the taking for anybody.
Mike Rosa of the Batavia Daily joining us here on the Western Hotline. Mike, when it comes to the Bills and it's not just the fact that it was one loss. It is, there's been some sloppy play from them over the course of three games, really. They let two bad teams kind of hang around until late. While they did close those two against Miami and New Orleans out, it did catch up to them against New England. How is it with Atlanta, an inconsistent team in their own right, that they can at least try to put some of these concerns to bed? And it's not even necessarily on the defensive side. It's about the offense for me.
Yeah, I think when you look at the offense and you look at the game Sunday night, really most of the trouble in my mind stems from the fact they could not get James Cook going in that game. And it felt to me like they maybe abandoned it a little earlier than they have in previous weeks. And the reality is James Cook's been the engine of this offense all season in terms of what he's able to.
We may have lost Mike.
I think we may have lost Mike there right at the end. All right, we'll put him on hold. We'll see if our producer here, Dan, can get him back on track. But, yeah, the offense, I think Mike's been right. Spot on with that. As much as Josh Allen has been the MVP quarterback, and he has been for a number of years, it was James Cook legitimately being an offensive player of the year, you know, first month of the year kind of candidate.
Right.
That was really pushing them over the edge. I mean, that's where all of a sudden, yeah, the passing attack hasn't been as flashy as you maybe would like. It doesn't really matter. James Cook is running for over 100 yards, and they have the number one rushing attack in the sport. I did want to ask Mike, if we can get him back in, I'd love to ask him, too, about the defense. I saw Jeremy and Joe this morning talking about, you know, if you know on defense, if they had to trade for somebody, what position do you want them to go for? And I saw the poll results because I voted, runaway corner. And I right. feel like that is where we're heading. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but it feels like where we're heading. Just because, while yes, they've statistically been the number one passing defense, it hasn't been as impressive. In part because they've really invited the run; they've been totally fine doing that. We'll see though if that continues on. They're going to play a talented team in Atlanta. But as much as the offense did struggle, the defense, I think, for a lot of us is really the main concern, mainly the secondary.
And the defense did do its job the last time we saw them, though. That is the thing. Like they did as much as they could with an offense that had – and a team overall that took 10 penalties, but also 11 at the end of the game. But
mm-hmm.
there was also the three turnovers, and that's something that this team does not do.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the Western Hotline. Mike Rose back with us. Mike, we lost there for a second. No worries. We were talking about the offense, James Cook.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the offense, when James Cook is not rolling this year, this is just not working offensively for them because they just don't have the guys on the outside that are winning consistently, particularly against, you know, man-to-man coverage. Josh Palmer has not been what was promised, I think, in a lot of Bills fans' minds coming in. And Keon Coleman, I think it's just kind of become clear in year two what his skill set is, and it's not a guy who's consistently creating a lot of separation for you. So, you know, when you just look at how the offense functions, if James Cook's not rolling, they're going to struggle, and that's kind of a lot of what happened on Sunday night.
Last thing for me, Mike, on the defense, I was mentioning it there when we were getting reconnected. The secondary before the New England game, you know, the passing defense was first in a lot of categories, and it seemed to be, you know, a bright light for the team. But many, I think, were thinking that's more just teams know they can run on the Bills. And, you know, that proved to be somewhat true because Stephon Diggs comes in and has one of maybe his best games of his career coming back to Buffalo, just dominated a secondary. Do you see a trade in the future for this secondary, namely a corner, with, of course, Dorian Strong now seeing a neck specialist? We don't really know what's going on there. Harrison, I think, understandably, are slow playing his injuries coming off that LCL sprain. He still hasn't even opened up his practice window yet. And it leaves, you know, guys like Trey White, Dane Jackson, and Jamarcus Ingram. And you wonder if you can really go on a deep playoff run with those three being cornerback too, especially when Benford hasn't necessarily had a great year to start.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern right now is that Benford hasn't been playing like Benford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're really going to need because I don't know if there's a quick fix for cornerback two that exists out there in a trade. I think that's a tough thing to do in the middle of the season where you bring a guy in and he has to learn your system and plug in there and try and pick everything up on a team that has the aspirations that the Bills do. So I think the reality is they're going to need Benford to get back to, you know, an all-pro caliber player, and they're going to have to hope that, you know, maybe Harrison can make an impact later in the year or Tre'Davious White can find the fountain of youth somewhere. But I think cornerback, too, to me, that was a concern even going back to training camp, and I think it's kind of showed itself for the first time in a regular season game this past week, and I don't think it will be the last time you guys are talking about this on a day after a game.
Mike Rose here on the Western Hotline over at Batavia Daily. Mike, thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning. Good luck this weekend, and then also go Bills for Monday.
Yes. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Mike.
Mike Rose there again on the Western Hotline. You can get all of his stuff over at Batavia Daily. I'm nervous for this weekend. Real quick on the Bills, I am very nervous. Lost season. It feels like a super lost season.
Are we sure you're talking about Buffalo?
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, I know you're not.
Oh, I'm not. Bills are 4-1. Like, I joke.
Like, I just wanted to make sure.
The sky is not falling. The sky may be falling in Austin.
It's currently falling. Three losses in a college football season means that it has fallen.
Yeah, and it's even
it is
with
currently
the new...
falling.
Yeah, that's even with the new rules and the new playoff where, you know, a 10-3 team in the SEC can get in. It's just more for me. I don't see this being the last loss. That's the key.
You have to be an impressive 10-3 at that point.
And yeah.
That means rifling off a bunch of wins after that.
Yeah.
I also do think it would be tougher for a 10-3 team if, for example, the Big Ten keeps showing out.
I mean, hey, it during this game, 3:30 Saturday on ABC, over on CBS, number 7 Indiana versus number 3 Oregon. That, I think, is by far the better game. By far the better game. Indiana put up like 60-something on Illinois. They might have a first-round quarterback in Fernando Mendoza. And then Dante Moore
Speaking
over Oregon.
Speaking of Illinois, number 1 Ohio State against number 17 Illinois.
It's tough.
So, but that's the thing, is that there's a lot. Also, staying in the SEC, you've got Alabama. You've got Missouri unbeaten. Ole Miss is number 4. Like, a third loss. Like, Georgia Tech is 5-0.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right.
Miami's hanging out at the top. Like,
oh, yeah.
A third loss based on A&M is 5-0. Like, Texas Tech is 5-0. Like,
no, thanks.
Yeah, I'm actually joining you on alerting you that the sky is falling.
The sky is falling.
You might be cooked. They have to win. Like, this is a must win for Texas, and I'm pretty sure the whole year is because the margin of error is not great right now.
It is razor thin. 803-0550, the number 2 call. We'll take a quick time out here. Sal Capaccio joining the show at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
We did an irresponsible. We blew up the brake structure here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I didn't do anything.
I'm Derek Kramer. I'm singing along. Zach is deflecting all blame and responsibility. I'll be the responsible one here. And don't forget, though, that you can also make sure, hey, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th of 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We went long with one of our guests, but guess what we're going to do? We're going to go right back to the Western Hotline on the other side of this break because we have Sal Capaccio joining us. The Bills not at practice today, but Sal will still help catch us up on the latest goings on at One Bills Drive. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show. We'll be right back here. Sal Capaccio joining us coming up next.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to the man of the hour, you hear the music, you know what that's about. Do got to take care of some things first. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $300 tailgate trade certificate for Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans each Friday. A winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Normally, Sal, Wednesday, we're getting our first injury report, what have you. Instead today, Bills are going to be off at least until tomorrow. We'll get our first injury report then. So, with that being said, pretty good game yesterday, Mr. Capaccio. Pretty good day.
Going on.
That's
in the
Derek. That's Derek.
Derek's unhappy about this. Is Derek a Blue Jays fan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't realize that, I guess.
Hey, we have a series, Sal. Game on.
I was never more happy to, and I don't think he actually tweeted it, but Old Takes Exposed could have got a hold of my tweet, and that would have been fine. I'm never more happy because I wrote in the third inning that I would say it's a good series, but it hasn't been a good series.
Right.
I'm not even saying from a Yankees fan, just a baseball perspective. Mm-hmm. It was a beatdown. Boring. Like, okay, here we go. One team scores lots of runs. The other team doesn't. And then as soon as I tweeted that, like an inning later, bam, everything started to happen. It was crazy. So, yeah, and I mean, obviously tonight it's a bullpen game for the Blue Jays after they used a bunch of their bullpen, so you got to get it if you're the Yanks. And then anything can happen in a Game 5. So I'm happy the Yankees won, obviously. It was super exciting last night. What a moment for Aaron Judge. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that moment.
I'm so happy for you, Sal.
that Judge moment.
It's good
moment,
to have
though.
A good series, though, honestly. Yeah. I do want to say that.
That Judge moment, though, I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot, and he calls them like high leverage at bats. And you know, the story on Judge, Stanton, and a lot of the Yankees is that in those high leverage situations, in those high leverage at bats, they come up short. And I Sal, I heard you talking this morning with Jeremy and Joe. The call for that home run is incredible. You know, if it stays fair, this is his moment. It's so good. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not really a Jays fan. I'm just rooting for a good series and interesting baseball. I think that's an incredible moment for this postseason. For him to have that moment in that situation was just phenomenal.
No doubt. And he his like legacy has been kind of rooted in he hasn't been able to perform mm-hmm. on the biggest of stages, right, in the playoffs. But this year he has. Now he hasn't had the home runs until last night.
Right.
He hit the home run. But he's hitting his numbers in the postseason this year are better than they were in the regular season. And he had MVP numbers in the regular season, right? So I get it. You want more home runs, but man, pitchers are pitching him not to hit home runs. That ball he hit last night, I have no idea how he did it. The stats and the analytics on that ball, it was over a foot inside, mm-hmm. over 100 miles an hour, and he got around on it. And it never. When do you ever see a ball not continue to go foul in that situation?
Right.
It was unbelievable that it stayed.
It was incredible at bat.
Tense. It's a big moment for him, and it's good because, again, the narrative on him is that, you know, like, oh, like the big bats with the Yankees always shrink in the big moments with this crew in this core, and it's just. No, that's good to see that there. But even then, it got off to an innocuous start again for New York. The Jays continue to be indiscriminate about what starting pitcher the Yankees are trotting out there.
Yeah, for sure. This is going to be really interesting tonight. We'll see. and Schlittler, and he had that big moment last week against the Red Sox, and now he's in for another big one at Yankee Stadium. One thing, look, I've been to Yankee Stadium for playoff games, and I'll say, like, it is an incredible atmosphere. When things start to go your way or against you when you're the other team, you feel it. It really does, and that's why I think, like, if the Yankees can kind of get off to a bit of a start tonight, like, that's going to start creeping in on the Blue Jays. But I will say this, guys. The Blue Jays have an amazing offense. They can beat anybody in baseball, and at any given night, they can score 12 runs, and it doesn't matter. And even last night in the ninth inning, I'm like, I don't care. This team has come back every single – all the time this year. They just win late games. And I still thought that could happen. And obviously, the Yanks won the game, and, you know, we're in for a nice baseball game tonight.
Game four tonight at Yankee Stadium, 7:08 first pitch. Sal, for the Bills, though, we did mention it bringing you in. It's actually an off day for the Bills because they're playing Monday night against Atlanta. We'll get our first injury reports tomorrow. I don't know if you saw, though, on Instagram, maybe some good news for Bills fans. Ed Oliver putting out on Instagram, it seems like there's a good sign that he's going to be playing. I think it's been trending that way, at least for him, in terms of his practice schedule being limited and really starting to ramp up. What do you think it would mean for the Bills? And nothing official, obviously, yet. But what do you think it would mean for this defense if they could get Oliver back?
So, couple things about this. Number one, I just think it's awesome at Oliver. Like, he is a guy that wants to be great, and he was very frustrated about the situation where he got stepped on. Mm-hmm. He couldn't play. When we talked to him last week, you could tell that. He said he felt he was dominant in that Baltimore game, and he kind of was, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he felt he was just going to kind of keep taking off. And then he has this setback where he gets stepped on. I love the fact that Ed Oliver has that mentality. I really do. I think Ed Oliver is a gamer. He is a dog. And when it comes time, and I think there's been questions about that in the past, right, about Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. I don't question it. I see it, and I think that it is awesome to get a motivated Ed Oliver because I think he wants to really show that he can be one of the top defensive tackles in the league and make impactful plays. So I think that's awesome, number one. Number two, I did not see this Instagram post until you just pointed it out, so I'm looking at it right now. What does it say here? It says Moneybag spin on him at Oliver. I don't know. I mean, he chose him. It just has him doing his lasso, right? So hopefully this is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, I'm not sitting here and telling you that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, but especially Hoyt and getting at Oliver back are the fix all end all. Michael Hoyt's not for another game after this, but I do think they're going to matter. I do think that those guys matter to the defense. I think Ed Oliver really matters to this defense. Because you have to block their defensive line differently when he's in the game. When you have practice squad guys being called up and they're doing a fine enough job, but they're not at Oliver. When they're in the game, you can go one-on-one with them. You don't have to double-team them. Then you can double-team the edges. Joey Bosa, Greg Rousseau. Ed Oliver in the middle should make a difference on the edges for the other guys to be able to do what they're supposed to do. Everything works in concert, right? And then to me, I am really excited to see Michael Hoyt as a part of this defense in a few weeks. I thought he was the best defensive player on the Bills during preseason and training camp.
And I mean, that was the thing, Sal, is when you were watching him play, he was in a situation where they were playing him maybe a little bit longer in some of these preseason games, but he's going up against backups, and he looked like a man amongst boys. Even when he was going up against starters, he looked very good. He's one of the more versatile defenders, and something that I started pointing out last week, it's PFF grades, and I know it only goes so far, and maybe even in some aspects, especially offensive line grading, it might be very wrong, but at least for him, it is something to point out. At his position, he was a top 10 graded run defender. That is something to get excited about. Sal, I'll also bring this up, too, in talking about Ed Oliver and what he does for the defensive line. Someone like AJ Epenesa, who he has not really had an up-and-down career. He's kind of just been sort of the quote-unquote same guy. Around 6 sacks every year, he'll have one pop game, he'll kind of disappear for a little while. But a lot of the underlying numbers, especially pressure rate, absolutely love him compared to like the rest of the NFL. I think his pressure rate's like 28.6%, and it's good for like top 5 in the league.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry. Did you bring? I lost you for a second there. Epenesa, you're talking about?
AJ Epenesa. Yeah.
AJ Epenesa. Yeah. Sorry. I think that AJ Epenesa has played better than people understand or give him credit for because the consistency maybe sometimes isn't there enough, and I get that. Or a big play isn't there enough when sometimes it shows up here or there. But I agree with you that the overall numbers are better. It's also because of opportunity because the Bills rotate linemen, right? That's what they do. It's opportunity. AJ Epenesa is a fine player. A lot of teams would like to have an AJ Epenesa on their team. He's not this incredible 12 sack guy a year guy, but he makes plays sometimes. He's a big part of what they do. You can't have all pros everywhere, but you need guys like AJ Epenesa on your team who, yes, I agree with you, have made some plays and have done some nice things this year.
Sal Capaccio here on the West Her Hotline. Sal, I also want to get your thoughts on the offense from over the weekend against the Patriots. I do want to move on to Atlanta, but specifically on this, Dalton Kincaid maybe had his best game as a receiver. Statistically, he did. It was his first time going over 100 yards, and I tweeted it out early, and I still stand by this. I'm thrilled to be wrong about where I sat with Kincaid. This has been his best year, I think, bar none. He's up there in terms of most receiving yards for tight ends across the league. I do wonder, though, are we maybe going to get to a point, because receivers like Josh Palmer haven't really popped off. Keon Coleman hasn't as well, outside of really that fourth quarter against Baltimore. Are we getting to a point? I know they like they're rotating the three tight ends and having that three tight end system, but are we getting to a point where maybe he's just going to have to be on the field more because he might be their best receiving weapon?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, some numbers that say he's getting some separation, right? But the Bills love to lean into what they do best. I guess the question would be, like, are they better doing that, or are they better keeping three tight ends and giving it to, James Cook more often? And I think they probably feel they're a really good run team, and they can give the ball to James Cook, and then that can keep them into situations where they don't have to rely on those guys getting separation down the field. I'd like to see Josh Palmer a little bit more involved. That's got to come from Josh Palmer to make plays. It's got to come from Joe Brady doing it. There's no doubt about it. But look, I think the Bills' best asset this year on offense is running the ball with James Cook. And as good as Josh Allen is, and we all want to let Josh do his thing, I get it. But James Cook is tremendous right now. And I don't know how much you want to go away from that, but I would love to see. You can't have everything. If you're going to do the James Cook thing and he's going to get the ball, all these guys can't be getting the ball on the outside. But I do think that when it comes time for a critical down, I would like to see maybe Josh Palmer a little bit more involved in that, because it says that there are some numbers saying that he is doing a good enough job to get that separation, and that's up to the scheme and up to Josh Allen to find him.
Sal, injury-wise with this team, obviously we saw the post from Ed Oliver, but also Jimmy Charlo gets brought up to the 53-man roster. Baylen Spector is brought back in on the practice squad. Milano looks like it's going to be a week-to-week thing from what the head coach said. But also Dorian Williams still dealing with anything. Any updates there with the linebacking core and how it's kind of thinning out a little bit due to injury now? It's the linebacker's turn, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they re-signed Baylen Spector, and I know that gets eye rolls from people, and I understand. He has been a guy that has not been reliable. He's been unavailable. He gets injuries. And when he's on the field, he's a liability in pass coverage. He's a good run defender. But the reason you do something like that is because if you need let's get through a week, okay, at practice and in the game. It doesn't mean he's going to play. I'm not saying they're going to elevate him and put him on the field. They could, I guess, because if Dorian Williams is out and you have Matt Milano and Dorian Williams, you need somebody who knows what to do. So for everybody who says, oh my God, I can't believe they signed these guys just because they know the system. Well, if you need a one-week fix, that's what you do. You can't go out and sign a guy who's brand new because he's not going to know the system. He can't jump in. He just can't play. He's not ready. Now, I don't even know if that's the case. I think Shaq Thompson is more likely to be that guy. But then that bumps a guy like Shaq Thompson from special teams more to playing. Joe Andreessen maybe more to playing. Now you need someone for special teams, maybe, and he knows the special teams. So again, it is causing a ripple effect down the roster. Jimmy Charlo's on the roster right now. You can use him. So yes, the linebacker injuries are something they're dealing with. We do not have, just so everybody understands, we will not have anything today from the Bills as far as injuries are concerned. That will come tomorrow because they play on Monday Night Football. You get the first injury report on Thursday. If I would expect at this point, Matt Milano wouldn't play. The encouraging news is it doesn't seem like it's an IR thing from what Sean McDermott said. So I know you might not be able to rely on him being super available going forward, but at least you know that maybe it is something he can get back on the field from in the next few weeks. And then I think Dorian Williams is the big one. If you can get Dorian Williams back, then that's great. If not, then you're dipping into, again, Shaq Thompson, Joe Andreessen, Jimmy Charlo, and even Baylen Spector, or Keontae Jenkins, who they really like, but they've already used two elevations.
Mm-hmm. Sal, let's look now to the Bills' opponent on Monday night, the Atlanta Falcons. They were on the bye this week, and I think many of us, and I would include myself in that, saw them get beat down by Carolina 30-0 and sort of maybe discredit them or maybe start to look past them. But their numbers, especially on defense, are very, very good. They really went into the defense on draft day, or really draft weekend. Jalen Walker, James Pierce, and then they also added two safeties as well, Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman. They seem to be a very athletic unit on defense, and then on offense as well. This is a team that is loaded with guys like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. I think there was maybe a period a few weeks ago where this was maybe going to be an easy game for the Bills. Now, and maybe it's partially coming off the first loss, I do look at this game, and this is going to be a fight, I think, for the Bills, especially a wounded defensive unit, which they've been for most of this year.
And a team in the Falcons who had a bye week.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to have 2 weeks to get healthy and prepare for the Bills, and they're going to be ready to, you know, welcome the Buffalo Bills and their MVP quarterback in and say, we're here to show everybody that we can play in this league at the highest of levels. I mean, they're going to be in for a fight, no doubt. This should be a good game from them. And, you know, their offense are so talented, but they do have a second-year quarterback who has his ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got shut out by the Carolina Panthers a couple weeks ago. Now, the stats show that they were okay in that game. They shouldn't have gone as sideways as it did, but they did get shut out by the Carolina Panthers. This has kind of been a feast or famine type of offense a little bit here with the Atlanta Falcons. You look at their offensive numbers, they're very middle of the pack in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Okay? They're very middle of the pack. You think they should be way better offensively because of Bijan, because of Drake London, because of Kyle Pitts. But I do think because you have a second-year quarterback who has his ups and downs, and that's going to be what the Bills need to do, is just confuse Michael Penix. I think the Bills will go into this game and say, we're going to make it so he doesn't know what he's seeing. He doesn't trust what he's seeing, and then we're going to rely on him to maybe throw us a ball or two. But, man, their defense is getting after it. You're right. Now, they have not played the most world-beating quarterbacks, but that's okay. The Bills haven't played the toughest schedule in the league, and you say you can only play who's on your schedule. So I give them a lot of credit, especially against the pass. The Atlanta Falcons are allowing 135 yards passing a game, which is number one in the league. They're only allowing 5.19 yards per play via the pass, which is really awesome as well. They're taking the ball away. They're not giving up big plays. I mean, they're really good. The third down percentage is good. This is going to be the Bills are going to have some wrinkles to run at the Atlanta Falcons. And one thing is, though, they do allow yards on the ground a little bit more. Now, maybe that's because they're so good against the pass teams. They're running on them, whatever. You can always balance that out. But that's where I go back to, guys. I think this is a game where the Bills maybe go back to their bread and butter and run the ball.
And that's probably what the Bills want to do. You could kind of see on Sunday night, they were a little uncomfortable when they couldn't get the running game going. It did sort of get them a little bit out of sync. I felt like, Sal, maybe you felt this way too, but the first few series for the Bills, it kind of just felt like they were throwing things at a wall, hoping it worked. It didn't feel like they were comfortable in doing stuff. You see it with the flea flicker and what have you. And then, of course, it's a fumble, and that's, you know, obviously everyone's going to look at, but it was even still weird to have a designed run to a tight end. It didn't feel like that's what they really based their entire offense on. It felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just go back to last week and say you can't give the ball away three times.
No.
It's simple as that.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, think about the two turnovers in each red zone. The Bills give the ball away in the Patriots red zone and give the ball away in their own red zone. Those two things that happened at least resulted in a 6-point swing, if not a 14-point swing. Well, I guess you couldn't say that. The Patriots got a field goal out of it, I think, if I remember right. But either way,
yep.
The point is the Bills could have had a field goal or a touchdown. So you're talking about 6 to 10-point swing. The Bills lose by 3, right? You cannot turn the ball over. So as much as there are a lot of things to clean up and look at, that's the number one thing this week that the Buffalo Bills have to do on offense. Take care of the football.
And then, Sal, looking a little bit further down the line, I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about trade acquisitions. I know Shelton Bulldog have taken calls about, where do you want to go with trade acquisitions, what have you. And this is something I've been thinking about mainly also because the team I follow in college is having a less than stellar season, so it's been more in the forefront. But it's something I've seen a lot of people bring up, and I think it's brilliant to kind of discuss is, now that we're into the season, what are we, like 40% through this season already? I mean, it comes at you fast. Every team has problems, right? I think one of the best things that's been talked about this year is that there really may not be a great team in the NFL, or at least definitely in the AFC. Everyone's got issues. But what can you hide, and what do you have to just live with? And I think for the Bills, they can live, at least personally for me, they can live with the issues on the defensive line. They're going to get guys back from suspension. They're getting their rookies more playing time, what have you. I wonder if they can't hide, though, and the stats don't point to this, but at least the eye test isn't looking great. their secondary sale. It's Trey White, and it probably wasn't plan A for them. It's why they added Max Harrison in the first round. It's why they went and got Dorian Strong in the sixth. It probably wasn't their plan A for him to be potentially cornerback number two in the long run. And it also probably wasn't part of their plan that Christian Benford has not looked like Christian Benford's standard. Do you think, though, corner specifically is an area where they are going to have to target for a trade? Or do you think that is an area that they can maybe live with and hide?
I think as I sit here now, it might be an area where you want to look at, but they're still a few weeks away from that. They have a bye week next week. I think you want to see on a week-to-week basis, what do you have this week, right? I do think that they are doing a good job of not giving up explosive plays over the top. That's the safeties, too, and the corners. But I think they have to be a bit better early on in the play, early on in the down, underneath, be closer to the ball. The most telling stat from me this past weekend, guys, and I tweeted about this, we talked about this, the Bills had one pass breakup, one, and it came from AJ Epinesa. Not one defensive back had a pass breakup. That tells me they're just not close enough to the ball. You have to be closer. And the reason, and Bart, by the way, when that happens, that's also how you miss tackles, because you're not close enough to make the tackle as soon as the guy catches it. And what happens? Stephon Diggs catches it. You're 2 yards off. You go and you wave at him because he makes a nice move and he's a fantastic athlete, and he makes you miss. You can't have that. I think the Bills have to be better in – maybe it comes down to more tighter man-to-man and changing that a little bit. Maybe it comes down to just saying to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a little more risky here. I don't know. I know that's tough to say. Maybe you force a team to say, you know what? If you really want to go over the top, we're going to give you we're going to risk, and there's going to be opportunities, but we're going to make sure that we're on you when you throw the ball, you know, 10, 15 yards downfield.
So one of the things that's been impressive and yet also at the same time, sometimes it seems like it's been disappointing, is the pressure rate. The Bills are one of the better teams in the NFL now in pass rush win rate again. And even in pressures, they're a lot better. They even get four sacks against New England. But it does seem like closing and finishing those pressures sometimes is still an issue for this team.
And that comes down to tackling, too.
Mm-hmm.
And tackling's been an issue, right? So pressure, closing, finishing off. It's been an issue since really week one. Remember the Lamar Jackson escape Houdini, right? Where he runs.
Oh, yeah.
They have him for this huge loss, and he runs. Spencer Rattler had one of those, I think it was. Alvin Kamara's in the backfield. Joey Bosa has him, lets him go. And then, of course, Drake May last week when Daquan Jones literally has him dragging him down, and somehow he makes the play. What did Bobby Babbage said this, guys. Bobby Babbage, the defensive coordinator, said, you have to get the guy to the ground. Well, the ball carrier has to go to the ground. Like, that's the name of the game. And you give credit to where credit's due. There are athletes on the other side. They're football players. They get paid. They're making plays, right? When Josh Allen does it, no one goes. When Josh Allen has a play like that, we don't come on the radio and go, man, that guy on the other team stunk for not getting him down. What you say is, our guy's amazing. That's what you say, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Because you have to look at it through both prisms. And the prism, you look at it for the Bills on the defensive side, is our guy didn't get him down. Well, that guy makes a play too, and that's okay. But you can't let that happen as often as it happened to the Bills so far. That has been an issue. You have to get guys to the ground.
Yeah, it has felt like, especially the start of the year, that they have been victimized a lot by some of these mobile quarterbacks. They seem to have a pretty big issue. And I think one of them too, Sal, is not even just getting the guys back down and, you know, with the sacks and stuff. It has been almost like they're getting victimized by their own pressure rates, where all of a sudden the middle of the field is wide open. It's like, oh no, here we go. They got in, but now there's going to be a gaping hole, and these guys are just going to scamper through it. But no practice today. What's the schedule look like, though, for this week? I know there's going to be some changes here.
Yeah, no media availability. I think the team is probably doing some stuff today, but no media availability today. Practice tomorrow would be like kind of a normal Wednesday, where we get our first injury report of the year, and it's kind of more of a full practice, and then everything's pushed up a day because of the Monday Night Football game. So we will not get an official injury report or even practice designations today. That happens tomorrow for the first time. And then we won't get game statuses until Saturday. Mm-hmm. The team will practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week, basically instead of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we are still going to have Sean McDermott on Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here, though. So make sure everybody's now – when he's on Friday this week, we won't get game statuses because that won't come until Saturday. Again, Monday Night Football game, things change a little bit.
All right, sounds good. Sal, we'll talk again soon, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. A little bit of a note from Sabres practice today. Owen Power in a regular jersey And then Zach Benson, crisis averted, did take appeared to take a puck to the face, went to the locker room for a minute. He is back on the ice, though. So
yeah, nothing,
no issues there.
Nothing like a top six forward taking a puck to the face the night before your opening game of the season.
Did that happen to Sam Reinhart last night? Did he get hurt last night?
I don't recall. Rodriguez.
Evan Rodriguez did. Okay.
Rodriguez did.
I thought I saw somebody, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They're already
dealing
with injuries.
It was a former Saber. You are correct on that end of it. It was Rodriguez.
Oh. 803-0550, the number to call. John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay, we'll get to you guys if you hang on here for just a few more minutes after we come back from a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Black, yeah, I got that text. No practice.
Just wondering,
I
what
don't care at all. I care about the Colorado Buffalo. I do love me some Sugar Ray Sanders. Don't believe that. I care about him. The rest of that mess, I don't.
Colorado head coach Deion Sanders talking about the Joe Flacco trade to the Cincinnati Bengals. Shedeur Sanders, now quarterback number two in Cleveland. Because they only have two quarterbacks, it's fine. But he did get a promotion
it's
there.
It's fine.
He did get a promotion.
He got a promotion, but also, why didn't Deion answer it like that the first time?
Be good.
That's a really diplomatic answer, honestly.
Yeah, it's one of his better ones. In terms of the Shedeur stuff.
Yes.
I mean, that's my biggest issue is, and they're 2-4 this year. It's not like Colorado's doing anything, but they did lose the Heisman Trophy winner and a very good college quarterback. This is true for, I think, a lot of people. His blind spot is his kids. I think that's very true for a lot of people. I almost just want him and Shador to not be asked any more questions. I just want to move on from it. Like, the Flacco thing is interesting for the Bengals. Like, we talked with Mike Rose, and he mentioned, like, if he can stabilize it, are the Bengals going to be kind of interesting? I'm terrified
for Joe Flacco right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's behind one of the worst offensive lines in the sport, and he's 41 and can't move.
Non-mobile 41-year-old statuesque quarterback, even when he was in his prime, is going behind that offensive line. What did Flacco do to upset Cleveland brass? Because, hey.
I think it's not even that. I think it's just we got anything for him.
Hey,
fantastic.
Joe, thanks for your service. We're going to tee off on you with Myles Garrett in a couple months' time. Yeah. Hope you're okay with that.
Hope you're cool with
that. That's so cruel. Joe Flacco does also have an opportunity to do the funniest thing ever, though.
Well, yeah.
Beat Green Bay twice.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, that'd be really fun.
Be the funniest thing ever.
I'd like that. I will say, though, this more feels like the Bengals had to make a move. An ownership group that doesn't typically do stuff like this, what have you, they did this, I think, in part. They can't keep convincing their fans they're actually trying to go win with Jake Browning throwing 2 to 3 interceptions every game. They really couldn't live with that anymore.
The way he played himself out of that job is – I would want to say the word incredible.
So much goodwill for that part of a season he had to play and played well.
Kept them alive, actually, in a playoff race where Burrow gets hurt later in the season, actually.
But every game except for one, he has thrown 2 or more interceptions this year. The one he didn't is a 28-3 loss to Denver in which
he looks just bad all around.
He looks just bad all around, and he takes 3 sacks.
And yet, at the same time, it also does have to do with that offensive line. Mm-hmm. It is abhorrent.
It's a bad group. They are very top-heavy in all of their talent.
Burrow gets injured in the pocket. Browning, I will say part of it is he's being flustered by constantly having to deal with pass rush
mm-hmm.
to a point where he plays himself out of a job. And your answer is that Flacco is going to take care of this? Who's been playing poorly with Cleveland already? Man can't find Jerry Jeudy to save him.
Don't even bring that up. Don't even bring that up.
I'm bringing it up.
I mean, I am loaded with receivers on fantasy, and Jeudy was the one I was like, guys, you might be a sneaky one. They can't get him the ball. I mean, they can't get anyone the ball. Even Isaiah Bond looks interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get him the ball. We'll see with Gabriel, though, as he progresses in his
rookie
year.
Passing offense looked pretty good against a good Vikings defense with Dylan Gabriel, and that's saying a lot about what Flacco was doing this year.
Yeah.
You make a trade for that? You know what, Cleveland, good for you for getting a draft pick swap back.
That's what I'm
this.
Saying. I don't even think it's anything to do with Flacco. I think it was one of the – we say it all the time about Kyer Elam, the fact that they got anything for him. Congratulations. I think Cleveland's probably thinking the same thing of, we got something for him? Fantastic.
We got something for a 41-year-old quarterback. That's how bad Jake Browning has been.
Time to book our tickets to Vegas. We're lucky right now. I mean, that's where they're at. Jake Browning, though, I think that really was the Bengals looking at themselves going, we can't keep selling this to the fans. This kind of we can't keep selling.
But also him. Reportedly, they didn't even talk to the Giants about Jameis Winston,
which is frustrating.
Or Russell Wilson, and I get like Wilson, like Browning played himself out of something. Winston was in Cleveland.
Man,
he brings you vibes, and hell or high water, he's going to be at least fun for you.
I would love to see the Bengals have him.
But like he was there.
With Chase and Higgins. I know that's where it's disappointing.
Oh, wait, he was in Cleveland. But Cincy should have been calling on him. Because,
that's disappointing.
Again, that's a guy that sees that he has Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and goes, I don't care if they're triple covered.
I think that maybe that was why they didn't. What am I saying with Browning? I think they got to a point they couldn't keep selling 2-3 picks a game. Winston, you're going to have the 4-touchdown perfection 1 week. The next week you're going to have 4 picks and he looks lost. I think they're sitting there going, How different is it compared to Browning? That might be the conversation.
Still
there.
Probably better, though, because Jameis Winston was a starting quarterback for a decent amount of time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Browning was always a backup.
Browning has always been, since he entered the league, a backup.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start off this segment with John on the line. John, how are we doing today?
Yeah, this is John. Are you there?
Yep, we're here, John. What's going on?
Hey, I'd like to hear what your opinion is of Matt Milano. Should he be staying with the Bills, or should the Bills cut him and lose the money and forget him?
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. They can't because of the dead cap hit. The thing is, though, they're probably just going to ride this out. He only really has 1 year left on his contract. I think they've worked it out where there's just an out after this year to cut bait and move on. That's probably what they're going to do, I think, at this rate.
It's a one-year deal.
It is just a fully one-year deal.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal. So it's you play it out to the end of the year, and yeah, it's that it's a void year. You have void year next year or within the next 2 years on it. It effectively is a one-year extension that was worked out on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that those cap hits, like it's a void year, though. So mm-hmm. you can actually just get out of this thing. The dead cap value, if you were to get rid of him now, though, you're losing money on it. And I just need to see where the penalty on that would be. Give me a second.
I still don't think they'd be able to afford it anyways.
Yeah, no. So what it is that if you tried to cut him now, that's 13 or yeah. 11 million, excuse me, that you'd have to deal with.
Not happening.
In the void years, you can get out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what they're there for.
It's a shame. It sounded so promising in the offseason, not even just the offseason, but specifically training in training camp where he was looking good and he had a few pop plays in preseason where you're like, okay, like here we go. Like this he might be back. The pec injury has not gone away from him. He cannot stay healthy. A lot of it is bad luck. Even hearing McDermott talk about it, like he seems somewhat dejected by it of just – yeah, no one does better to try to stay healthy. He just can't. It's a shame. I mean, like, I talk about the talent issue the Bills have on defense. They have really been burned, though, in this run here, of this total run, by injuries where they're all pro linebacker. Arguably one of the best in football off-ball linebackers. Massive injuries 2 years in a row. They're all pro right. corner. That was maybe on track for, you know, not a Hall of Fame career. I don't want to go that far.
But at least threatening one.
But threatening one with how early Trey White career, how the early success of Trey White's career was, two massive injuries in back-to-back years. And those were your high-end players. Like, that's the hits. Those are the guys where it's like, boom, there you go. They haven't really been able to replace them. I'd even say with Dorian Williams as well, like there was a good feeling about him in the offseason as well, leading the team in tackles, and you're in a good spot. And then this year, he has absolutely lost his spot already to Shaq Thompson, in part because Shaq Thompson's been playing well, but in equal parts because Dorian Williams has not been performing well at all.
He has been playing relatively poorly, and it's tough to see. Because start of the year, what was I saying? Linebacker's strength of this season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's quickly not become
not
that.
Not quite.
And to be fair, it's the same with the corners due to the depth. You've lost so much of your corner depth already that we were talking about it with Sal. I don't ever think Trey White was really their plan A. But by week three of the preseason, he kind of became your plan A.
I would say both positions, though. You have a player that's got a massive extension that's not playing up to snuff either.
Terrell Bernard and then Christian Benford.
Correct. So there needs to be something where, yeah, my big guys still need to step up a little bit more because I know what they can do.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones. Jay is up next with us. Jay, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I have a question, guys, about the guys that's on the practice squad, mainly the veteran guys like Poirier Davis and Phillips. I was just wondering when would be the right time to pull those guys up. You know, I understand the insurance policy, but, you know, at the same time, should we be worried about them getting the call from another team? That's pretty much it. I just listen off air. Thanks for taking my call.
Jay, thanks for calling him in. I said this on the overtime show following the game against New England. I have no appetite for Jordan Poirier. And I'm no disrespect to Jay or the caller on the overtime show either. I don't know how you can watch Trey White get burned as much as he has and then go, let's go put Jordan Poirier now in that defense as well. I think you're asking for a real problem there, and I do wonder how much of it just comes from the trust you had years in the past. I don't want to just say your love of nostalgia. That's not it, but just the trust you did build with those guys.
I will say it's also
it's not there anymore.
You're also answering your own question a little bit about being worried if teams are going to sign them off the practice squad. They would have done it by now.
Well, at least with Poirier, because Gabe Davis is still on IR.
Yeah, Poirier,
just on the practice squad side of things.
Poirier, it answers itself. It would have been done by now. Is really how this goes.
He had to wait till basically the end of camp to basically, you know, not limp back, but...
But on a more legitimate side of this, he mentions Jordan Phillips. He has been called up once already. You have four call-ups through a season before you have to promote them onto the 53-man roster. Zion Logue has already been...
He's running through his.
He's already down three of his four. So they clearly seem to trust Zion Logue more than Jordan Phillips. But
if there is another player out in either Oliver or TJ Sanders for this one, I would imagine either Fedarian Mathis or Jordan Phillips gets the call up, because you need to be able to save Zion Logue for some point into the regular season. That's pretty much where we're at on where the D tackle.
Yeah, Gabe Davis, Gabe Davis, though, can be interesting when he's healthy, mainly due to the fact of their downfield passing game has not really been unlocked. And that was the one thing. I shouldn't say that. One of the two things. His sideline play was incredible. But downfield passing, that's what he brought the Bills. And if he's all of a sudden your third, fourth receiver, and that's kind of all we need you to do, and against a specific matchup when he gets healthy, I could see a scenario, and not a bad one, where Davis is called up from the practice squad.
And we'll see what happens there. He has to be healthy in order for that. But, yeah, I don't it's a mixed bag there. It's all of what you brought up is situation-dependent, and some of those questions also have answered themselves. But I hope that we gave you the information that you need on the rest of them, though. So, again.
We'll see, though.
We'll see.
803-0550, the number to call. Got to take a quick timeout. Sabres Live coming up at noon. JD, we'll get to your call here after a quick timeout if you hang on. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hour number two continues to roll along here, and Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It is courtesy of TSE Buffalo. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get to one more call here before we go to Sabres Live at the top of the hour. JD is up next. JD, how we doing?
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Hey, I just wanted to talk about Keon Coleman real quick, then I have a question about Deion Sanders or a comment. About Keon Coleman, I still have a lot of hope for this guy being a quality NFL receiver. I don't know where I heard this. You can tell me if it's true or not, but I have heard that Josh Allen himself was very much involved in selecting Coleman. Do you know that?
I believe, yeah. I think the year of his draft, he was like kind of like one of the guys Allen liked. Although, and this is me personally, you don't have to take this for anything it's worth, Allen's an incredible PR guy. I think he'd say like any of the receivers they take would be his guys, just to always kind of have that.
He's very media savvy.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yeah, well, I still have a lot of hope for the guy. Yep. But anyway, real quickly about Deion Sanders, one thing that has struck me when I watched Shador drop in the draft, and I'll just hang up and listen to what you have to say. I don't think that this kid who comes off as a spoiled child, Shador, to me at least, I don't think that he realizes, and I don't know if Deion realizes, but in my opinion, if I'm an owner or I'm a GM, I could absolutely see why you would be allergic to bringing on a guy like Shador, not just for his attitude, but do you really want to deal with his father, who always has a microphone on the national stage, you know, commenting on the team, got to add his 2 cents. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
JD, thanks for the call. And I love that you bring that up, because Cam Newton, who I love his podcast, he has brought this up a lot in terms of the quote-unquote loud backup quarterback. The moment Shador realistically fell out of the second round,
He's no longer a starter.
He became very difficult to draft, because he'd be a loud backup quarterback. And unless it was the Ravens had been hinted at as a team that maybe was going to take him, I was kind of into the idea on Saturday of Buffalo taking him. Unless you had that established starter, there's literally nothing Shador could do to earn the job from them. He was going to be a loud backup quarterback. And that's something Cam has brought this up, ended his career, maybe prematurely. When he, you know, here, perfect example, with Buffalo, before Allen ascends, Newton was an idea for many Bills fans of like, well, they play the same, he's, you know, and he could work if they need him to. He could work maybe too well, where now all of a sudden you're going to have a division in a locker room of there's going to be the Cam supporters, they would have been the Allen supporters. Now it ultimately never happened. But look at Tim Tebow. Never a good quarterback, but boy, oh boy, did the media and did TV love him.
There's a... I feel like it's correlation between talent and noise. If you are a backup or a replacement level player and you are noisy, you are the first to go.
Yep.
Because you are noticeable at that point for that. And it's a correlation at that point. How much distraction am I willing to put up with you based on the talent that you give me? And that's how you get a player like Shedeur Sanders falling into the fifth round at that point. Is once he gets past the second round, you're no longer being seen as a viable starter. You're being seen as a developmental or project player. And it turns into, how much noise am I going to be able to put up with for what you give me? And based on what I'm seeing on tape, I'm not seeing a whole hell of a lot that counteracts the noise that you've been given. So there is that. Sabres Live is going to be coming up next year, but don't forget that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It only takes 30 minutes once a year to get a potentially life-saving screening. Schedule your mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammography for a quick appointment. That'll do it for today's edition of the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. Dan has been on the board for us here. Sabres Live is going to be coming up in just a couple minutes here, as it's the night before their home opener against the New York Rangers. Have a good day, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.